Amen. Thank you. He could just say it's Joe Williams. We're all familiar. Praise the Lord. Good evening, everybody. So, how come everybody gets the whole worship team and I don't get nobody but you guys? Yeah? Somos familia. I should just do it in Spanish just to freak everybody out. Amen. Vamos al libro de Juan, capítulo 13. John chapter 13. I want to take advantage while you're finding the scripture. John chapter 13. Let me find it myself. But it's always good to do the work of the Lord. I'll try my best not to entertain you, but to minister to you. We're there, John chapter 13, verse 33. Amen, amen. Digan amén cuando llegaron allí. All right. Are we there? All right. 34, 35 better. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Father, we thank you this evening, O God. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to minister your word, O God. And Father, we just pray your will be done tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you about the 13th commandment. Now, you heard about the new two, you heard about the Ten Commandments, but we'll wrap this up as we finish. But I want to focus on the 13th Commandment. I want to focus on that. You know, I just want to take the opportunity to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for his keeping power, for keeping us all this time and what he's doing. Every time I say something, every time, even though it might not seem like it, recently we're involved with funeral service, and we saw some dedication, salvation at a funeral service, you know, and I went down south. We had a mini reunion of ex-locos, vatos locos, rucas locas, de Anthony, and we were able to get together, and one of them 30 years ago, and then she dedicated her life to the Lord, you know what I mean, 30 years later, you know, and the one that had, most of you heard my testimony, you know, how it was, you know, this and that, and how the Lord raising me from the dead and all that, but in my testimony, there's one individual that was always preaching to me, and I had always told it, get out of my face, you know what I mean, get away from me, you weirdo. Well, she was there, and 30 years later, she had drifted away from the Lord, but I was trying to explain to her, because her and her husband, I said, listen, God used you to plant a seed in me when I didn't want to hear it. And now God's going to use me to bring you back, to bring you back to the things of God. So prayerfully, they'll stay plugged into the Victory Outreach and exclusives. But, I mean, it's just what we do. It's who we are. It's what we're called to do. You know, and have you noticed recently, a lot of prayer, like tomorrow night prayer night, and then we got the pastor's prayers, and we got New Mexico prayers, and then our personal individual prayer, and it's always going on, and always something always happening. And what about the unity of the body of Christ? If you notice how the unity and how, like right now, this convoy of hope is not a little thing. In fact, you haven't been aware, me and Pastor Danny are actually on the committee board. They put me down as guest productions. What that is flyer distribution. Come on, somebody. Pastor Danny set me out. We're at a meeting. So we need somebody to volunteer to distribute 100,000 flyers in the city. And I was just being obedient, keeping my mouth shut. And Pastor Danny kicked in the floor. Right here. This guy, he's been doing it. So guess what? Now I got like 25, 30 pastors that are working together to work and be able to infiltrate the whole city of Albuquerque. Amen. Come on, somebody give God an honor for me. All the praise. Amen. But that's how we do it. But the point that I'm trying to make, why is this happening, the unity? That's just come with hope. Next year, you're going to hear about Sacred Albuquerque is another ministry that's not known. Nobody hears about it. But they made more impact and reached more souls than Billy Graham. That's how deep they are. And guess what? They're going into cities, getting all the churches together to make sure that every single person hears the gospel of Jesus Christ. And why is that so vital? Have you read John 24:14 lately? That this gospel should be preached in all the world. And then the end will come. That this gospel should be preached all. What do you think that Pastor Sonny is over there in another country? And sometimes we wonder, well, United, we can't. We can't even reach our backyard. We can't even. No, listen, this is a worldwide ministry. We're making an impact around the world. If somebody don't say something, I'm going to go and have an ice cream down the street or something. Come on, somebody. This is not it. But why is that happening? Could it be like it says, and then the end will come? Could it be possibly be that we in the last days? Come on, somebody. Could it possibly be that? I mean, that I would say so according to all the things that I experienced, that I seen, the legalizing this, the legalizing that. And look at every, now talk about prayer. Pray. Because every year that we kick up Stop the Violence campaign, every year for the last 10, 15, 20 years, every year it seems like the violence goes up. Like a mocking spirit, like you ain't guys going to do nothing. But I want you to know that we don't operate in the natural, the physical. We have to operate in the spirit of the living realm. See, and realizing and recognizing, have you read lately 2 Peter chapter 3, 9 and 10? How it says that, do not be ignorant that one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. And I don't know about you guys, but we got to live today as if we have an appointment with Jesus tomorrow. Because that's the time frame that we're living on. And you know, God is God, and he's a God that's going to keep his word. And if he says he's coming back, you better believe it, it's going to come back according to what the scripture says. And this is why, and then it's not only says that scripture, but the verse 9, it says, God is not slack concerning his promises. The Psalms say he's not coming back. But he's long, patiently waiting that all should come to repentance. Now, he's not talking about all should come to salvation. That's already been established. Come on, somebody. He's talking about God's people. He's not talking about people out in the world, those gentes that are still in bondage out there that don't know Christ. He's talking about God's people, you and I. Come on, somebody. That all should come to repentance of what? See, sometimes we could be in bondage and we don't even know it. I had a great, crazy dream last night. Because you know what? It was I have a nice day every day, even in my worst days, in my best day. You'll figure that out when you got Jesus in your life, amen? Because he always comes through no matter what. And I was doing this and doing that. I was able to spend some quality time with my godson, and I dropped my schedule, and I did this, and I did that. We tried to go fishing at Tingley. I never catch no fish. You know what I mean? But today at Burger King, I told him, look, this is a real fishing. There was a homeless guy looking through the window. Come here. You know what? We led him to the Lord. We fed him. He said, that's how you catch fish. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? But this is what we do, you know? But in this, so I was tired. I was exhausted. So at the midnight hour, I was going over my nose. And God had given him this a few days ago. And, you know, I fell asleep about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I had this crazy dream that I was sentenced to 4 years in prison. And in the process of that dream, when I was getting booked and everything, you know, how many of you know I've been doing prison ministry for over 25 years? How many know that a lot of people knows me? Come on, somebody. I'm not talking about inmates. Come on. So it said this. Somebody asked me, well, what did you do? And I look like, I didn't do nothing. Come on, somebody. I was innocent before, and I'm still innocent. I didn't do nothing. But then, you know how dreams are. Now, I don't know about you, but if I like the dream, I'm going to dream on to see what happens. But if I don't like it, I wake myself up. And somehow, you know, the alarm went off, and I woke up early this morning. And honest to God, I questioned God, what was that all about? So I began to think, I thought it was real. I thought I was going to prison for real. I was trying to find out, okay, if I want to go to prison and I got sentenced, I got convicted, what did I do? What was so bad that they didn't give me a break? Come on, somebody. But you know, the Lord brought that word into my mind, bondage. Bondage. Because sometimes our self-righteousness can lead us to bondage. Our judgmental spirit can lead us to bondage. Our controlling spirit can lead us to bondage. And not that we're doing it, not that we want to do it, but you got to understand, sometimes we get so spiritually wise that we forget that we're involved in spiritual warfare. But you know what? But, you know, I want to focus on those three spirits, or one spirit, if we want to call it all in one. But it's a... One moment, please. Okay, the mission is over. Back to the message. Amen. But I want to focus on that. I want to focus on that judgmental, self-righteous, controlling spirit. And my question is, like, what would Jesus do in a situation like that? And he gave us an example in John chapter 8. But because preaching it sometimes doesn't get to us, can I do a little demonstration? Can I do a little demonstration of what would Jesus do in a situation like that? How he dealt with that situation? According to your law, that she should be stoned to death. Well, you without sin, why don't you cast the first stone? See, Jesus stood on the ground and he wrote something on the ground. And all that were involved, even the accusers, kind of looked at it. So if this woman must be stoned to death, then you will also need to be stoned to death. Woman, where are your accusers? Go and sin no more. Now here's the whole point. Come on, somebody give God a praise offering. The whole point of this little illustration that the Pharisees and the scribes had the self-righteous spirit. They were judging this woman. And they thought they had the situation in control. But how many know that Jesus came in and set the standard straight? Now, two things that stand out in that illustration. Number one, he told the scribes and the Pharisees, you without sin, throw the first stone. And then not only that, but then he told the woman, go and sin no more. He didn't even brought up the situation of adultery. He didn't even mention it. See, I found an interesting scripture in Jeremiah 17:13 says that those that neglect Christ or forget Christ will be ashamed and will be written on the ground. So I really believe that Jesus was writing down like, well, if I have to stone her, then we have to stone you guys too. And he gave it that. But what is the whole point of the whole situation of what's going on, what's happening here? So, see, even in our own ministry wise, our own personal lives, now look at what's happening here. Remember what Jesus once said? Matthew 12 is preaching. And he's mom and his brothers come and try to talk to him. And they questioned, oh, Jesus, your mom and your brothers, they want to talk to you. Now, he was probably getting down heavy. He was preaching a sermon. And he does something unusual. He goes, who is my mother and who is my brother? That him that does the will of the Father. And I want you to know, folks, that the whole point that I'm trying to get across here is You know, why is it so vital in this? See, this judgmental, righteous, controlling spirit, it's kind of like an attitude like a flat tire. Now, if you get a flat tire, believe me, if you don't change that flat tire, you ain't going nowhere. It's the same attitude we have when we have that same spirit upon us that we think we already arrived, and right away new people start coming in and we begin to, oh, he's not this or that, and we to get that judgmental. Have you ever taken time and kind of get to know people a little bit? Have you heard the story? Have you know what they're going through? What's really going on? Where is the love of God? Remember, we're talking about the 13th commandment that people are going to lose. See, people are flocking into churches and they're looking for unity and love of God. And they don't see it. Come on, somebody. They say, who wants that? But if they see that division and the strife and there's no unity amongst us, come on, somebody. Because remember, the 10th commandments was the first ones that were given down. And it's myself and any of you, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that we break about two or three every other day. Hello, somebody. Thank you for being loyal. Come on. Come on, don't look at me like that. Jesus was heavy duty. Remember the Beatitudes? If you think about it, you already committed it. Shall I move on? And he's dealing about sin. What is that little thing, sin? It's in James 4:17. For him to know it right and not to do it, it is sin. So that means sometimes we qualify to that. And then it's an inward attitude to rebel towards God, simply. It has nothing to do with adultery, with being self-righteous, with judgmental, with controlling or that situation. It has nothing to do with that. But it's a sin that so easily besets us. So why the 13th commandment? Because like I was saying, and the 10, all those. And then remember when they tried to test Jesus, by the way, the little illustration, the Pharisees were actually trying to test Jesus. And then also in the 22nd of Matthew, they were also trying to test him again. It's a questioning which is the greatest commandment. And it simply says that you should love your Lord, your God. And I know everybody loves God. We all love God. And he says you should love your neighbor as yourself. Hey, I like and I love. Well, there's one neighbor I don't kind of like, but I love him. Come on, somebody. But what about you? Now, remember, he says a new commandment I give you. He wasn't talking about loving yourself and loving your neighbor. He was talking if you have love for one another. Si tenemos amor para unos a otros. And when Jesus said, who is my brother, who is my mother? See, when you and I become children of God, whether you want to accept this or not, we have the same DNA of our Heavenly Father. Come on, somebody. I am your brother, whether you like it or not. You are my sister, whether I like it or not. We are family, whether we like it or not. And you know what? How many got familiar on the natural and the physical? Come on, somebody. I have some. I still got it. It took me almost 30 years to lead my younger sister to the Lord. Don't come preaching to me, and no, don't start again. And this and that. Recently, she surrendered to Christ. I never gave up on her, but we're always to argue. We're always, ever since we were kids and everything. But you know what? Just because my sister gets mad at me, or my brother, younger brother, that's hooked on heroin, gets mad at me and does some crazy things, but that does not stop the fact he's still my family. And even in our spiritual realm, when we're familiar, nothing can stop the fact we might disagree. Look how far we've gone in our differences, in our imperfectness and everything. We're still moving for God. We're still doing what God calls us to do. Why am I more in the spirit? You know, we can't stop that. We are family in God, whether we want it or we don't want it. Come on, somebody. And that's why we're blessed and privileged to go. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. And no matter what happens, we always come back to the love of God. Once we let it down and let it die, so why is it so important? Simple. Love conquers all. Oh, come on, people. That's the 13th commandment. And it's simple, and it's not a real dynamic, profound. You know, I could go out there and do some cartwheels and I could discuss my voice, and, hey, la palabra dice, I can do this and do that. But what does the Bible say? You can have the education. You can have the eloquent words. You can have all the experience. But if you ain't got love, you ain't got nada. Si no tienes el amor, no tienes nada. And I learned. I've been rejected, and I have rejected, and I've hurt people, and I've been hurt. I've been through it. We've been through it. By one thing, to the love of God, I have learned to forgive and forget and move on. Come on, somebody. Let the bye-byes go by. Let the difference go by. Let everything go by. Why? Because we come in one spirit, one accord. Man, we're already so deep in that the enemy can't stop us anyways. How much more under the anointing and the power of God Almighty and doing what each one of us is called to do? What happened to the keyboard player? She didn't get enough love today or what? Let's all stand to our feet. But that's the whole point that I'm trying to get across. That we have love for one another. The 13th commandment. A new commandment I give unto you. Why? Because it says, by this, all, your families, your neighbors, the newcomers, when we do outreach, when we reach to people, all we knew that they're true disciples. We got to set the example. Amen? Amen, amen? Amen, 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 amen? Father, we thank you tonight. And tonight, let's I don't just want to pray for you. I want to pray with you tonight. I just want to make a simple prayer tonight, amen. I know it's all homegrown, the homeboys and the homegirls, and a little few from the church. But how many know that it starts within us? It starts within the body of Christ, into the church world, to the leadership, to the outward, to the outside. Because you know what? We're doing what God's called us to. All this thing with Convoy of Hope and all this outreach and everything that we do, it will benefit nothing if the love of God is not instilled in people. Because it's the same love that brought us to where we are now. It's the same love that's going to break the bondages of addiction, of violence. Are you with me tonight? Let's pray tonight. I'm going to open these altars tonight. Now, if you're here visiting tonight and you're here for the first time and maybe you need to get back with the Lord, maybe you just got some, that love will deliver you, that love will set you free. But whatever it is, maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But we want to open these altars right now. Like I said, I want to pray with you tonight. Father, we thank you tonight, oh God. We give you praise, honor, and glory tonight, Lord. And Father, we pray tonight, oh Lord, that you would just have your way within our lives, oh God. Father, we stand in agreement right now as one spirit and one accord, oh God. Father, we're not perfect, Lord. We haven't arrived, oh God. We don't have all the answers, Lord. But we have the love of God within us, Lord. And Father, I pray that we will have the same love for one another, oh God. That we'll be able to understand in the difference. That we'll be there to support each other, Lord God. To have each other's back, Lord. Father, we come against that disruption, Lord God, that definition, Lord, that spirit that tried to bring strife and division within the body of Christ, Lord. We come against that rebellious spirit, Lord God. We come against the self-righteous, judgmental, controlling spirit, Lord God. We come against that rebellion, Lord God. We come against everything that stands for the works of darkness, Lord. And we stand, Lord God, under the power and the love of God to die, Lord God. And Father, we pray for our ministry, Lord God. Father, we pray tonight, Lord God, for victory outreach here in Albuquerque, Lord. For these treasures out of darkness, oh God. These men and these women, Lord, that you have joined us together, Lord God. You have bound us together, Lord God, for one purpose and one accord, one goal, Lord God, is to reach the hurting and lost and dying world, Lord God. Father, we pray tonight, Lord, that we would just come in agreement, Lord God. That we would just be a one spirit, one accord, Lord God. That we would build a bond of respect within each each other, Lord God, that we'll be able, Lord God, to be honored, Lord God, we'll be able to be respected, Lord God. Father, we come tonight, Lord God. Father, we pray tonight, Lord, that you would just pour out that spirit upon each individual tonight, oh God. Father, we pray tonight, Lord, that you would have your way, Lord God, that you would reach, Lord God, to the methods of evangelism, Lord God, to the hurting and lost and dying world, Lord. Father, we pray tonight, oh God, Father, for those that are backslidden, oh God. We pray for those that are incarcerated, Lord. We pray for those that are hurting, oh God. We pray for those that are in bondage, Lord God. We pray for those, Lord God, that are looking for an answer, Lord God. Tonight, Lord, we know that the love of God has the answer, Lord. Father, we pray tonight, oh God, that you would have your way, Lord. Father, we pray tonight, Lord God, for breakthroughs, Lord. We pray tonight, Lord God, that you would just reach out to our loved ones, oh God, our families, Lord, our neighbors, oh God, our co-workers, oh God, that they will see the exampleship of the love of God within us, Lord. Father, we pray tonight, Lord, that you would just loosen, Lord God, your power of love upon your people tonight, oh God. We pray this in the name of Jesus, oh God.